more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-68.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two, about 5 minutes in, maybe a couple of minutes past, yeah, seven. And Ian Wilkes is with us, and I mentioned that appeals for money are frequent, and there's so many different circumstances that we have to look to the kindness of each other. To support, and Ian alerted me to Paul Jeremy's situation with a myeloma diagnosis and treatment at the Markey Center at UK, and radiation and chemo, and it's scary, and needs our support. Ian, good morning. Thanks for letting me know about it. Not at all. For those that aren't Kentucky based and know Paul and his work and as a blacksmith and as a huntsman, tell everybody about Paul Jeremy.
Yeah, he's touched a lot of people, Paul. He come up when he first come here. He was a huntsman, he always said, wore the red coat, as one of the lead huntsmen there and great at what he did. And eventually he switched, he always shod horses. And when my blacksmith retired, Richard McChesney, probably 15 years ago, Paul took over shoeing for me. And he's been my blacksmith since and, does a great job, he's only 49, and to be that young and come with multiple myeloma, it's a tough thing. I never realized how painful this can be, the pain is unbearable from it. And, and with Nicola, my assistant, has a full-time care of him, not able to work as well, so... The good thing is, they did have some insurance, but, insurance at all of it. But the hardest thing, he never had disability insurance, which is the tough thing. If he had that, I think everything would be fine. You think you're young, you think you're invincible, you don't think anything of it, So, we've organized a fundraiser for him to try and help with the bills and that. And, we come up with, we're going to do it at McCarthy's in Lexington. And it's got some great items. People have been very generous, with some auction, silent auction. We may even, do a live auction, just make a little, something to do. And this is going to be on Sunday, the 16th, after the races. And so, looking forward to it.
For those that that don't have, we'll do a couple of things, actually. First of all, McCarthy's Irish Bar, 117 Upper Street in Lexington, Sunday, late afternoon and into the evening. And... silent auction type items always popular and always a great way to to generate the kind of revenue that's going to be necessary here. And some of the details, yes, there's the overhead in terms of keeping Paul and Nicola afloat. While essentially laid up. But there's also the chemotherapy drugs, which, if I read this correctly, Ian, the insurance is not going to cover those drugs for him, and it's to the tune of $10,000 a month?
Yeah, Steve, I'll be very honest. I'm not 100% sure of what the insurance covers, because that's not it's not my insurance, you know.
Sure.
But with the cost, yeah, it's about $10,000 a month for just for that, you know, doing the chemo. And that's what I understand it all, you know. Just trying to keep them, you know, paying their bills, you know, the medical bills, you know. And
sure.
Yeah. I wish I could.
Well, we also.
Tell you.
That's all right. This is the initial. You know, we'll keep tabs now and going forward. Has the safety net, Shannon Kelly, has safety net been contacted at Jockey Club?
No, I have not talked to them. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, safety net. We'll get a hold. I'll forward the email what you sent me. I'll forward that to Shannon and see what they can do too, because this is right in their wheelhouse. They'll do what they can. And if there's any, if there's anybody in the medical finance arena listening that understands, what some of the, grant type or aid options might be, let us know. You can write me, SteveBick157 at Gmail, and we'll coordinate this with Ian and Nicola and Paul. But for now, this Sunday, which is the 16th, after the races at Keeneland, at McCarthy's Irish Bar. And for those that can't be, obviously, that's, a large percentage of the audience.
Yeah.
You can Venmo Paul at Paul Jeremy, PaulJeremy, Paul Jeremy, if you want to Venmo, whatever it is. And like we said with the hay drive, no contribution, is going to be too small. And if you don't have an option of doing it that way with your phone, you can send a check to Paul's home address, Paul Jeremy, 1631 Kings Highway, 1631 Kings Highway in Wadi, Waddy, Kentucky, 40076. Paul having, Ian being positioned in Paytona, Wadi, the opportunity to make it to Louisville or to Lexington in about the same amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
well, this is tough.
Steve, I'll just rattle off a couple of auction items.
Sure.
We've got some people have been very generous, you know. Mike Smith, especially, you know, he's got three pictures of signed or justified, the Triple Crown, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, all signed. Two pictures of Zenyatta signed, and then we have Rich Strikes halter with a letter of authenticity, Gunrunner's halter with a letter of authenticity. Two pheasant shoots, separate pheasant shoots. That's what Paul used to love doing. He'd have pheasants and have people out going shooting, you know. So he's gonna auction that off. And we got two Breeders' Cup box seats, two seats in a box, you know, for Breeders' Cup this year. A saddle and boots signed by all the Keeneland jockeys. And another saddle signed by the jockeys. A table for six at Keeneland, can mean the spring or fall, the alcohol included. Dinner for two at Malone's. UK tickets and parking pass. Signed the All-Star Jockeys framed. I think it is framed. I have to, some of these things I'm not 100% sure. I've got to get all the details correct. But it's signed when the Lone Star in 1997 from all the jocks there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's some great things. And Declan Cannon's wife, Lauren Cannon, donating a bakery. She cooks unbelievable pastes. Anyone, you know, she's a tremendous baker. Hmm. Yeah, she's donating. I'm not sure the exact what it is, but I'm sure it's a, you know, some sort of bakery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so there's some great things, and we've still got a few more things we got to line up. You know, so we'll have the fun, and be some great items there for some people.
Oh, that's a to put that together like this, Ian, in short order, that's unbelievable, that list of things you just read off.
Mm. Yeah, and there's some more things still coming in, just trying to get it all together. We're trying to get it out there. We'll, I think Tracy's going to post on Facebook today of some of the items there, and then as we get more, we'll let everyone know what we got. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Boy, it sounds terrific. And I mean, obviously hate that this is what it's for, but we're trying to help Paul Jeremy, and the opportunity Sunday to get together with the people should be really a you would think a festive you know, group of people that are coming off the track week two here of Keeneland and McCarthy's on 117 Upper Street in Lexington after the races on Sunday. We'll pass on. I'll put stuff up on Twitter, Ian, as well, and with more details. And I'm sure there'll be a continuity effort with, like, a GoFundMe, that kind of thing as well, because this is, you know, this is, you know, one get together like this is not going to take care of all the needs, but
no, it's not.
I'm sure there's some,
and you know, the great thing about thing, Steve, is, you know, our racing community is like one big. If someone's in need, it doesn't matter who it is, you know. Whether it's a, you know, a jockey or whoever, we all come together for them, you know, and that's the great thing about our the racing industry. It's one big family.
There's no doubt, and in terms of generosity, it cannot be beat. And you know, it's amazing because it isn't confined, you know, to any one part of this, whether it's a rider getting injured and you know, mm-hmm. is going to be out of commission for, you know, for 6 months or more, whether it's how about the flooding in Kentucky over the summer, and that tornado that devastated I'm going to forget what the town is that actually it's where Alex Waldrop grew up. It doesn't matter. Whatever the need is, the industry participants step up, and a situation like this, guaranteed everybody will rally. I appreciate you letting me know, and whatever we can do to, you know, to help.
I appreciate you putting it out there, helping us, you know, all you do for the industry.
Not at
you
all.
Know, it's great. Yeah.
My pleasure. Let me check in with you too about Mira Mission while we've got you.
Yeah, he's a cool horse. He's knee high to a grasshopper. I love him to death. He's going to run on Friday. Hopefully, you know, this is a prep for, because he ran awfully good the mile and a half and the Sword Dancer. So I think he's better now. I think I got him a little better than he was that day, and hopefully we keep improving.
He'd run back, right, for the Cup. He's on the probable list.
Yeah, that's my plan. You know, I've got to run good here. You know, I don't want to go in, you know, but I think he'll run good for me. and he's doing extremely well. And yeah, and that's the idea, come back in 3 weeks, running back in 3 weeks. Yeah. I could have shipped to Aqueduct, but I didn't want to. I'm here. It's here. I'd rather wait and run him 3 weeks than to ship all the way back to New York to run him in the race last week.
I can totally understand. And, you know, not only that, why would you, you know, why wouldn't you want to, you know, get in another opportunity at right at Keeneland and over the, you know, over the course?
Yeah. And I took him over there and I've worked him over the grass a couple of times, leading up. That was good. He likes that.
And because you know, he's only run once at Keeneland, and it's, you know, people are going to see that he's 0-for-1, but it's a little clouded up, actually. He's dirtied up that effort in the Maker's Mark Mile, where he was only beaten a length and a quarter. He was fifth, but he ran okay.
It's a better race than you think, oh, he ran fifth, but he got beat a length and a quarter. And they went very slow, and he got a shuffle back a little bit out of position around the half mile. So to still run on and only get beat a length and a quarter, it was a...
Well, you know, he's a 4-year-old, and this will be his 15th start on Friday in the Sycamore. What do you feel at this point, distance-wise? I mean, because you've tried him really... anywhere from a mile to a mile and a half. What's your ultimate thought on you know, what his perfect trip is going to be?
I think he's ultimately going to be in the marathon, the mile and a half. I think that's
okay.
Going to be his thing. But see, the great thing about him, Steve, is he switches off. He listens. He doesn't pull, you know, whether I run him a mile, whether I run him a mile and a half. He listens to the rider, and that's the key. And while he's listening, and then, you know, I ran in the mile and a half last time. If he had that turn of foot as what he had going a mile or mile and eighth, I'll be okay. And he did. He opened up, and then we just had to move a little too early on him last time, first time going a mile and a half, and Gufo got me at the wire, beat me a half a length. But I feel that now that he's had that race going the three turns, I feel he's going to be even a little better doing it.
Well, this is one of Mrs. Sullivan's, and feels like, and he's a gelding, so he's going to be around. And with the kind of summer that he had, Ian, this is going to be a serious player in the division, you know, for the next few years.
Well, definitely, you know, Touchwood, he's very sound, you know, he's a cool horse, he's kind on himself, and I hope that he's around. He's a, like you said, he's a gelding, he's only 4, he's only young, he's just starting to mature now, and hopefully he's around for 2, 3, 4 years more, you know, and having fun with him.
Well, for those that haven't looked ahead to Friday at Keeneland, the Sycamore, the Grade 3, three-turner, and you want to talk about rounding up the usual suspects. They're all here. Arklow, Red Knight, Channel Maker, Temple, Cellist, another mystery. You know, it's funny. People say, oh, the horses don't stay around a lot. Really? Well, let's see. Arklow is making his 39th start. Red Knight is making his 30th. Admission Office is making his 22nd. Even Highland Chief, Graham Motion is on here in about 20 minutes. Highland Chief making his 5th start in North America and his 15th overall. He's a 5-year-old, so not a lot of mileage on his tires. A Credit, Pavel Metka, making a career start 10, a 4-year-old flatter colt. And then 48th start for Channel Maker, who's made $3.7 million. Mira Mission making his 15th start. 38th start for Temple. British royalty 16th start for Barbara Minchel coming down from Woodbine. Speaking of which, Darwin Bannock is going to join us next. Chad has got Balthus, that is a lightly raced Galileo gelding for Peter Brandt, making his stakes debut. Another mystery start 31 for Chris Block, one of the last Illinois breds of this ilk. And Cellist for Rusty, making start 13. So don't tell me there aren't venerable campaigners out there for people to follow and you know, be excited about seeing.
Yeah, it that's the great thing about it. You know, there's plenty of knocking old horses around, and you know, they just love their racing.
Well, you got a hard knocking young horse. So, that's a twist on the hard knocking side of things. Let me also, Ian Wilkes with us, and our principal conversation focused on Paul Jeremy, the fundraiser for Paul on Sunday at McCarthy's Irish Bar, 117 Upper Street, and after the races in Lexington. But Ian, I also want to ask you about a maiden as well on Friday. You got a second time starting 2-year-old by Noble Mission, this for Winchester Place, Noble Bernadette.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had a race. She ran a good race at Kentucky Downs, probably needed the race first time out. You know, she's not the greatest trainer on the dirt. A little will work into her on the dirt, but without having the grass. She's just strictly grass, and she's a big filly, but I expect an improved performance from her.
Nice. And, you know, you never, you look at the line from Kentucky Downs, you never, you know, immediately just discount a horse simply because, you know, they didn't run great at Kentucky Downs. You coming down the hill, sometimes they get tentative, and they you know, especially a big horse. It's funny that you mentioned that she's got some size to her. She's out of a parading mare. It's a homebred for Winchester Place, and interesting. This looks like it could be an okay field, too, that is going to go the mile and a 16th. And pretty much, I think everybody's got at least one start in here, right? Rusty's got a first-timer, a Munnings out of a Galileo mare for BBN Racing, a $160,000 Keeneland purchase. But everybody else has started, and so that's an interesting group in the seventh race on Friday. Noble Bernadette. Don't have any morning line odds. Let's see, Ian, one more. Let's see, we got... How about tomorrow? That Guns and Lilies going in the sixth.
Yeah. He's a filly I worked really well before I ran a first time out and got just broke a little tardily, and then at the 5.5 got left behind and never made up any. Disappointed with the performance our first time out, but then I come back and ran her on the grass, and she went to the lead but didn't have a turn of foot for a grass horse, which I didn't. That's what prompted me to go back to the dirt right now. I mean, just will for one try, because she did it so easy in front, but didn't. They ran by her too quick, and that's what I didn't like. So, but she's worked good back to 7 furlongs, and I'll be interested to see get her back on track. You know. This filly does have some talent. This filly.
Well, she was a 400. She's a gun runner out of a Tappet mare, and this is one that Mandy Pope bred and was a $400,000 purchase for Jim Gladden. And so, you know, that all we've done all year long, the last year and a half, really, since the gun runners hit the racetrack, all we've talked about are gun runners out of Tappet mares, which is the Ron Winchell formula, right?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Boy, they've done extremely well, haven't they?
Yeah, That's a absolute thing. And, you know, she did come out. One thing that recommends her, Ian, she comes out of that race that produced Chop Chop that ran so well the other day at Keeneland.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? Chop Chop run really good, so that helps the form a little.
Big time, big time. There are a bunch of firsters in here, so at least you've got some experience to offset the poor post. She drew the 12-hole. Julian stays with her, and it is 7/8 on the dirt, so the open-air outside box, not a nightmare, but the 12-hole is still the 12-hole. Just looking, glancing at everything else here. There is that horse of Barbara Banky's coming back, that Miha. The Curlin out of Rachel's Valentina. Yikes. We'll see about that one. Second time, 4-1. And Graham, well, here's another one for me to ask Graham about. Diamonds If You Do, a Nyquist filly. Mr. Fipke's got one. I'm more than ready. Feels like this one probably long-term is a turf horse. Eddie Keneally. As well, this looks like a decent group.
Yeah, it seems like that. A pretty solid group of horses there. Mm-hmm. But it is Keeneland. Huh. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's right. It's not supposed to be easy, right, Ed? The big highlight certainly Friday as Mira Mission gets ready for the Breeders' Cup, and there's already people that are talking him up as a Cup candidate. So I appreciate Ian the opportunity to talk some horses, but our first order of business is helping Paul Jeremy, the blacksmith. Need to raise some money for Paul to get through his being sidelined by the treatment for multiple myeloma and radiation and chemo, and has to even go into his pocket for some of the chemotherapy drugs. So we need to rally Sunday after the races at McCarthy's Irish Bar, 117 Upper Street in Lexington. Ian, I appreciate this, the opportunity to help and keep us informed and let us know what else we got to pass along to everybody.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Not at all. Ian Wilkes, everybody, and maybe we'll get an update as soon as Monday after the weekend and when Mira Mission runs in the Sycamore. That'd be a perfect way to hear how the party and the fundraiser went. All right? That'll work. We're going to stay here. We've got, before Andy Serling joins us at the top of hour three, going to talk to both Darwin Bannock as well as Graham Motion. And I'm trying to think if I don't think Darwin's been on with us, has he? Okay, I'll send you the number. I'm going to say no, that he is not. I mean, I've certainly seen his name, and he's had horses. He's had nice horses. So, actually, you know what, Case, we may, I'm going to put us in trouble here. You know what, we may want to get Graham in first, now that I see what time it is. May want to, because Graham is expecting us, he said the 10:40 was perfect. So maybe we wait for, let's do Graham instead first. All right, because Darwin was open. He said any time is fine. Yeah, let's do that. Let's get Graham in first. So some more information for Paul Jeremy. Again, if you want to Venmo, Paul Jeremy on Venmo, if you want to send money direct to him. If you have to write a check, if that's the way you can support this fundraiser. Paul Jeremy, 1631 Kings Highway, Waddy, WADDY, Kentucky, 40076. All right? Paul Jeremy, 1631 Kings Highway, Waddy, Kentucky, 40076. and some more of the specifics. If you only heard parts, he had to spend 2 weeks, even before the treatment began, when they discovered this. He's been at the Markey Center, and once they got him stabilized, they started the treatment, which began September 23rd. So it's been, you know, basically just over 2 weeks. But Nicola is looking after him, and of course Nicola works for Ian as well. So she's out of work, staying with Paul at home. So this requires everybody to pull together. And, you know, for those that are lucky enough to have insurance, you can't even imagine. I mean, I knock on wood, I've had two health things. I've had two health crises in the last, I don't know what, 4 years. I had the thing with the eye, detached retina. And then the heart attack a year ago at the end of the month. And I can't imagine. I mean, I cannot imagine what this would be, what either of those would have been like when we saw the bills and, you know, what the vast majority after we paid the deductibles, what those bills, I don't know. How anybody deals with this. I mean, to have to go into your pocket to pay the chemo drugs. They, as the explanation, despite having medical insurance, all the costs will not be covered. In particular, chemotherapy drugs alone will cost $10,000 a month. I mean, this country is just sickening. I don't even know what to say to this. It's just amazing. So, it's up to us to help. Very, very distressing to see this. So. All right, let's, so you're not getting Graham. Okay, well, then in that case, let's try. Go ahead, get Darwin in here, and I'll check with Graham. Graham said that 1040 was perfect, but he may have gotten hung up. Yeah. No, oh, okay, you think that... Yeah, I'll tell him we'll circle back to him may have to, you know what, maybe we'll get Graham after Andy. All right, so go ahead and get Darwin in here, Case, rather than yeah, all right. That's fine. I told Graham that we'll come back to him. All right. Happy to have a chance to visit with Darwin Bannack after a terrific performance by a horse that Ron Gierkink and I talked about it on Friday, and it seemed like Bushido was going to be, you know, tough to beat, and that's the way it proved out. Certainly, Darwin, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Talk about Bushido. Let's find out more, because this one kind of has burst on the scene.
Yeah, he's a cool little horse. When we got him, he has a real bad parrot mouth, so he wasn't exactly the prettiest yearling or 2-year-old when he came to us. He had a few other little issues, and we were able to kind of iron them out and figure them out, and he started working fantastic from the gate, and I don't know, about the fourth or fifth time popping out of the gate, he left all my other two-year-olds kind of, you know, by five or six lengths. And I managed to get some video of it, and I sent it to the owner, and I said, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen a two-year-old leave the gate like this. And he just got better and better about it, and we got him gate approved with, I guess it was three other two-year-olds that I have, and he got gate approved, but none of the other ones did. They said that they just broke so slow, and I was like, I don't think that's the case. I think this horse is just left this fast. He just makes them look slow. So it actually ended that's up funny. Setting my other two-year-olds back another work because I had to go back to the gate and work them again to get gate approved. But I was smarter that time. I made sure that he didn't go with them, and they were all gate approved right away. So we kind of knew then for sure he was pretty quick out of the gate.
That is hysterical, actually, that he's so good that it made everybody else look like a problem.
Yeah,
that's funny.
You know, like in his first race, it looked like the same thing. So if you had two-year-olds in there trying to get gate approved, you probably wouldn't approve them if that was the case, right?
That is funny. Tell me, we're going to talk more about, you know, obviously about the two races so far, but the way it's listed, it's interesting. There's no sale information. The ownership is listed as the Bushido Syndicate. Interestingly and crazily, actually, you know, I just finished with Ian Wilkes, and that mare, that Burma Road from Lantern Hill Farm, bred this horse, and Burma Road, Ian trained that mare.
Right. And from what I hear, she was quite a talented filly and had lots of pump and try. Susie owned the horse. And after his first race, we weren't even out of the test barn yet. She was messaging me saying that she had written offers on him already. And she just really didn't want to sell the horse. She wanted to try and figure something else out. So another one of her friends that owns part of Hal, actually, wanted to get in with Bushido, and Bill Soroklet Jr. got in with them, and another friend of Richard Kent's from Florida got in with them. And they bought half of them so that we kept them here and kept them with us. So that was really nice of them to do that. And, yeah, so that's how we ended up with the Bushido Syndicate, because they didn't want to, you know, everybody had to get licensed, but just putting on all those names on the form and program and stuff, we just thought we'd come up with something like that. So that's what we did.
Very cool. Burst on the scene is how I described it in September with a easy wire win. He was certainly not a secret. He went off at a tick under 2-1.
Yeah, I think the gate crew kind of knew what we had. They said, we haven't seen a two-year-old break like this all year. And, he's a good-looking little horse now. And I think the rest was history. He had a couple nice, pretty nice quick works, really all on his own, but ended up being quite quick. And I guess that was enough to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak.
Well, it comes back, and it was vying for favoritism with Ever a Rebel, the Wesley Ward Rockingham Ranch Invader, and ended up going off at a little under 5-2. You went off a little over 3-2, and this was, again, this was just never in doubt. I mean, as soon as Gallardo was able to straighten him out, he just took control and basically cruised.
Yeah, and it does seem to be that you know, nobody has been able to match his speed at this point. Obviously, down the road, we'll be trying tougher horses, and we'll see what he can do. But I just love the way he's been able to relax and rate on the lead. Hopefully, he'll be able to do that if we get tied up with some real speed competition, and be able to maybe just sit off of it a little bit yet if he needs to, and kick back on again.
The question is, I mean, I saw the figure come back in the 80s, an 85 buyer, which yeah. puts him in pretty elite company, Darwin. Is he eligible for, I don't see the Breeders' Cup logo. Is he eligible for Breeders' Cup?
He's not. We'd have to pay a pretty big, I think it's $30,000 to enter him into it. But it's definitely been on my mind from day one since he broke his maiden, and I just love the way this race set up for timing-wise, if that's what we ended up trying to do, right? So it's definitely in our thought pattern. We're comparing him to horses like Bob Affert run that last week. I think he had 104 buyers as a two-year-old. That's just incredibly insane. So,
that was on dirt.
And ran on turf in a stake on turf and won, right?
Yeah, but with a 75. With 75 buyer. I mean, that did not... I can tell you that performance isn't going to scare anybody.
Right. So, it's certainly on our pattern. It sets up nicely. We're going to reassess him very closely here in the next couple of days. We're all going to probably get on a phone call and make a decision and then go from there and I still have that on the back of my mind, and everything that we've been doing for the last, since he broke his maiden, has been to aim for that race. So we'll see. You know, if everything works out according to plan, maybe we can make it there.
That'd be unbelievable. The it's funny, yesterday, I mean, the horse I'd be as concerned about, beside the Baffert, which is
right.
Speedboat Beach. The one I talked right. to yesterday, we talked to Daniel Leach about American right. Apple, that filly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that filly, you and the filly are the two that are the most exciting.
Yeah. And Wesley Ward scratched one out of the Indian Summer,
yep.
I think it is. That one's supposed
yep.
to be pretty nice, right? And even the winner of that race was okay. So
that was the Asmussen, Private Creed.
Right, Asmussen's horse. Yeah. So there's some nice horses there, but you know, if we look competitive, I'm sure that it's gonna be awfully hard not to take
yeah.
a shot with them.
Well, and out of curiosity, if I'm thinking back to Sky Conqueror, did you run Sky Conqueror in the Breeders' Cup?
Did, because it always conflicted with the international here. It was too
yep.
close to
yep.
international, so we always kind of stayed home. And at that time, I think the international might have been the same amount of money as, you know, the mile and a half turf race was. So, yeah, we managed to miss the Breeders' Cup, but we ran on Derby Day, so that was nice. And we got to win the Woodford Reserve, the race before the Derby, with him.
He was a nice horse. You won the Northern Dancer a couple of times with him.
Correct. Back to back years with that. Yeah.
And that's right, and the Woodford. I how about that? I had forgotten that, Darwin. Wow.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten that.
Yeah, we were gonna run back. We missed the 2:30, then the Belmont is the next one, right? And then one at Pimlico we were going to run, it was the one at Belmont we were going to run. And we shipped down there, and he tied up really, really bad the day before the race. So we ended up scratching him. He was a big favorite that day, too. And coming home kind of sad, obviously. That didn't work out.
And for those that don't remember, Sky Conqueror, $1.7 million in earnings, including the King Eddie, the two Northern Dancers, and the Woodford Reserve on a yielding course in 2007. That was under Javier, under Castellano. The hell of a career.
He got into all kinds of trouble here. He ran third in the International and got into all kinds of trouble with Todd Cable. And that was before the Woodford Reserve, I think it was, and maybe the year after. I think it was before the Woodford, because Todd was so upset with himself.
Yeah, he mixed it up with a lot of nice horses of his era, including Kip DeVille.
Yeah, he
ran into, you tried him in the Maker's Mark that spring at Keeneland. He was fifth, beaten two lengths and change. Cloudy's Knight beat him in his final career start in the other International.
Right.
Collier Hill, and he faced some of the nice ones of his era. I see that it's actually kind of funny. I see that you've got a horse that, or any tie, English Conqueror, any tie to Sky Conqueror?
Yeah. He's by a mare that is by English Conqueror. So, or out of a mare. So yeah, there's some connections there and same owners
too. Oh, that's great. There it is. Yep. English Channel. Out of Regal Conqueror by Sky Conqueror.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, that's tremendous. Is it the Sarklets family, or is it somebody else?
Correct.
It is their family. Wow.
Senior Sarklet passed away a couple of years ago on us. He had been in the business forever and ever. I think he owned horses.
Sure.
When he was in university, when he owned his first horse. So, and then the three siblings took over, and now it's called JWS for their first initials, JWS Farms. So it's all Sarklets.
Oh, I'm thrilled to hear that, actually, and because that was a name that anybody of a certain age is going to have seen. And had more than just Sky Conqueror, too. Had Classic Stamp, who made almost a million, and Union Place, and he had some nice horses.
He sure did. Yeah, he sure did have some nice horses, and he bred, 99% of them. So it was something he really loved to do.
You trained Classic Stamp, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
How about that?
It was, I think, mine and Emma Jane Wilson's first stake win. She won the Canadian, I think it was. It was our first stake win.
Oh, that's great.
For both of us. Emma Jane was still a bug rider at that time.
Wow.
I think it was going back.
There's a trivia. Yeah, there's a trivia question. That's hysterical. Yeah. Here it is, the 2004. 2004. She won the Canadian 2 years in a row.
Back-to-back, correct. Yep.
Unbelievable. Boy, that's a testimony to you, Darwin, keeping horses like Sky Conqueror and this one, to win back-to-back runnings. That means you keep a horse right. Here it is, 2005, September 18th, Emma Jane Wilson's first. That's great.
Going back a ways.
Well, listen, you've had a successful, long, steady, successful career.
Yeah, Yeah, we just love what we're doing, and that makes it easier, that's for sure.
You know, I'll ask you a question that should be interesting to people. You've had plenty of success. You've won a lot of big races, and we've defined a few of them here. But you've basically maintained the same size barn your whole career. It doesn't seem like you're interested in training 60, 80, 90 horses.
That's correct. I'm quite hands-on. I go over every one of my horses every day, and I'm out there with my pony for every set, if you get any bigger than that, you just lose contact completely. It's tough enough with, around that 28 to 30 number to still keep, real close tabs on everybody. So we try to get at that.
Yeah. You've probably averaged basically 100 starts a year for 20 years.
Yeah.
And obviously Darwin Bannock, very satisfied with that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is great. Well, I was excited. I was excited to see this. Ron Gierkink and I latched right on to discuss Bushido on Friday, and then goes out and comes through. So we'll look forward to seeing the decision. Feels like after winning 90,000, spending 30 of it to get Breeders' Cup eligible, feels like it's something you're probably going to do. So we'll be watching, and we hope we can see you there.
We would love to make it, and obviously we're gonna let him talk to us a little bit and tell us what he wants to do, and we're gonna go from there.
Darwin Bannock, everybody, and I see that you do have a Twitter, but as everybody can tell, you're not exactly one of those people that's self-promoting exactly.
Correct. I don't know on Facebook to tell you the honest truth, but my wife does 99% of that. She kind of keeps everybody in contact about what's going on with our barn and stuff, but... Yeah, I'm kind of from that era that stayed away from Facebook and Twitter.
That's fine. That's fine. There'll be plenty of publicity if Bushido finds his way into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint.
Correct.
Darwin, it's terrific to talk. I've enjoyed this. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and anytime... I enjoy it myself, so it's nice to have a horse kind of with some talent and running in these kind of races again, and that's what we work so hard for, so it's very enjoyable to have another horse that can maybe make it to these kind of races for us.
Big time, and you certainly have proven that when one with talent comes your way, you can get them to the right spots. Darwin Bannock, everybody, and Bushido, the first Samurai Ridgeling that feels like you're going to get to see him in the Breeders' Cup. Let's take a break. It's top of the hour, exactly 11 o'clock. I did hear from Graham Motion. He will join us after Andy Serling, hour three. We continue. Stay with us.
Racing fans, don't miss Breeders' Cup Challenge Weekend at Spectacular Santa Anita this
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into